Marvellous. Take the opportunity to thank Molly Flannery, editorial assistant at Art Critical, who put together this evening's PowerPoint and presented it. Thank you. So, lights, please. Anthony, you were wondering in relation to big installations by artists as various as Donovan, Rhodes, and Ai Weiwei, and Sarah Zee, whether, you know, the theatricality of the large and overwhelming installation has, to some extent, well, to a great extent, robbed artwork of the organizing gestalt that relates it to the experience of artworks of over centuries past, that gives the viewer some bearings to be able to decide whether the piece works or not. Here we have a video by Bradley Slater that can, or that can, if it wishes to, or might not, relate to the experiences either of the history of painting or the history of the available history of movies. What gave you your bearings with the work? Movies or painting or something else?
I went straight, but I think it's very unfashionable, which I think is wonderful. It's like it goes straight back to Cocteau or something like that. It's deeply romantic. It ignores the whole history of video from Bruce Nauman on. I know a bit about, say, Bradley's work. It's about alienation. It's about teenage angst. He's made things about people like Ian Curtis, Kurt Cobain, Michael Jackson. It's unashamedly full of feeling and romance. I think it's wonderful. I like the work a lot. It's very literary. It's very educated. And I think I have nothing bad to say about it.
All right. Great. Mm-hmm. Anna, Kurt Cobain would then tie in to Elizabeth Payton, an artist I know that you've written about and admire and interview. When I was seeing the... I guess have read the press release when we were first thinking about shows to include in this evening's lineup, but I had one of those bizarre experiences when I was looking at the film and thinking, this character reminds me of... Catcher in the Rye. I hope it doesn't say that in the press release. And that's my original insight. And then, of course, the wretched press release, Holden Caulfield. Oh, damn. Was it a romantic experience for you?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I actually find it incredibly moving and absorbing. And sort of slipped into it and saw it a couple of times, and bizarrely connected it to the Ai Weiwei in a way that I'm going to try and walk through, just in the sense of assimilation, as Michelle was talking about outside a bit about assimilation, this way that individuals come to New York and try and assert an identity or discover an identity, and the protagonist of this movie is not actually Slater himself, but the doppelganger that he recruited early on when this guy, I think his name's Ben, moved from California to New York to either become a musician or an actor and was kind of unsure of his own identity and placement, but looked so much like Slater that they were mistaken for each other and became constant collaborators. And watching this awkward character who at certain points was kind of interrelating with his environment, but in antisocial and unacceptable ways, but also ways that you see people interrelate with their environment in cities. So at one point he kind of slides down the beam of cathedral.
St. Patrick's,
yes. It's been a long time since I lived in New York. So yeah, he slides down the banister and... at that point, he's kind of behaving like a New Yorker would, just being familiar with his surroundings. And then he's stepping on the cracks, so there's something sort of like superstitious, maybe potentially kind of schizophrenic. He's acting just as abnormal as people in Manhattan are used to seeing someone act, but as like obviously uncomfortable and in the process of self-examination. And then what's amazing is there's this moment when Slater himself passes him and blends so seamlessly and so comfortably, but is oddly less sophisticated looking. So the pseudo Slater slash Holden Caulfield is dressed in black and has like this sort of sleek Ian Curtis kind of New York-esque, like, you know, knife thin look about him. But Slater himself is kind of long hair and is just a little like pale and banal looking in relation to what would be like what a non-New Yorker would think New Yorkers would look like and would maybe come to New York to try and blend. But then blending just makes you a person in the city itself. So it started me thinking just about assimilation and being part of a cityscape, and like also what people, I guess, now in the financial crisis think of as success. And like, if you can't make it in New York, then does that mean you can't make it anywhere? All this anxiety the character seemed to have seemed to relate to that. So I did find it really articulate and moving and super, super relevant, and bizarrely so relevant that it became like the centerpiece that I was relating all the other shows to. So yes, wow, really well, liked it.
We've
big
got
fan.
Two very thumbs up there.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, I found, I must start myself thinking, I watched it a few times, and one of the pleasurable experiences for me, you know, as an adoptive New Yorker, is that the first few moments of Woody Allen's Manhattan experience that we inevitably have in seeing anything that's taking place in New York. But actually, then I find myself thinking not of Woody Allen, but of Rudy Burkhardt. It seems to be that a very strong poetic of the city. Did you pick up that vibe?
Yes and no. Curiously, even though I was completely in empathy with the feelings embodied by this lanky figure who may be waiting for someone who doesn't show up and so is wandering about, not knowing where to go and how to. I mean, this is an experience that I'm sure all of us have had, in which I felt at the beginning of the piece that he was sort of standing, waiting, and nobody came. And so he was totally disoriented. But really, what I found so exciting was the quality of the sound that accompanied the piece and the photographing. And as I was looking at the still images, I was totally impressed by the points of view, which are not like that, but sometimes from bottom, sometimes down. The sound which accompanies, sounds are just perfectly in tune with the moods and gesture mm-hmm. of the actor. So I saw it as much in emotional terms as in formal terms, which for me is unusual.
Oh, wow.
So I liked the piece on both counts.
Yeah, the sound aspect was really absorbing because it was this really lonely, empty sound that you could kind of imagine would be sort of the sound of someone between thought. And it just seemed so isolated and enhanced that sense that this person was disconnected. There were city aspects to the sound, but there were also these moments that were like these kind of
there was
breaks.
Ominous music as well, wasn't there? And I was put in mind a little bit of Jeremy Blake's Ossie Clark video, if only because of the romantic subject, but obviously without the visual invention of Blake being a rather straight narrative. I also couldn't really follow the dialogue quite a lot of the time. Was that a problem for anyone else?
Was that intentional?
He was quoting
from a book called The Novel of Cocaine or something, a totally unread German novel from the 1920s.
Right.
I'm not sure if one's supposed to hear it, really.
All right. Okay.
But I was fascinated by the shoes,
yes.
by the walking,
yeah.
by the crossing of the street, where all you see are these people crossing, wearing all kinds of shoes with...
That was
which,
a very Burkhardt moment for
yeah,
me, you see, yes.
Very,
yes.
Very, very good.
And they were real people. The fellow you see jumping into a limousine with long white hair early on is Stephen Greenberg, you know, the... collector
of
Art Deco.
Right. Gosh. Well, Antje Hayden Guest has the inside scoop on this video for sure. Anna, I'm hoping you're going to have the inside scoop on Lola Montez Schnabel, tell us why we should be worshiping at the altar of Lola Montez Schnabel.
Well, okay, I don't have the inside scoop, and I actually didn't like the show at all, so I can't really help with either of those things. But I do think that what was interesting is that the inside scoop that was discussed in W and a bunch of other publications really, really distanced me even further than I would have otherwise been from appreciating the show, because there were aspects that I found compelling, and those aspects were the candy apple reds, crystallized, I'm not even sure what it was. It was some kind of varnish. That was physically attractive. But in terms of the inside scoop, she was telling the W reporter that she was going through this period of enforced celibacy and intense yoga, going to India.
That's more inside than we were hoping for.
But, anyway, but the reason why this was problematic was because the canvases were so chaotic and disordered and in flux and anxious that if that's what she's doing and she was sort of presenting this as like a byproduct of being more at peace, which I would assume yoga and like not having to deal with all these other distractions would hopefully bring you. But the result seems like someone who's sort of pre-detox, like a very toxed person. Yeah. And that was even more problematic than if I'd just gone in like raw and wanted to experience them just as a girl's like messy inner.
So she's a bad advertisement for yoga and celibacy.
And those things need advertising so badly.
Right. Okay. Anthony, do you concur with that verdict?
No, not really. The gorilla in the room, of course, her father is Julian Schnabel, who's an art star. And it brings into the whole thing of lineage. I mean, young Ryman, you know, his father's all, but his father's not an art star, or indeed Kiki Smith's father's Tony Smith, but neither of them are art stars. It has not really affected reportage on their work. As Anna points out, Lola Montez Schnabel's show was revealed at W. It was reviewed in the Times, not in the art section, but in the style section at great length. I think it's kind of unfair, as a matter of fact. I was at first took against it just on the illustrations because the work in some ways is reminiscent of her father, unlike Will Ryman or Kiki Smith. The colours are not dissimilar. And I think very deft handling of paint is, and putting that together with figuration is again not dissimilar. That said, I think the paintings are pretty good, and she's got, you know, I was surprised that I enjoyed them as much as I did, as a matter of fact.
Well, good, excellent. Michelle, I actually, funny enough, had a strong European feeling with some of these paintings. So the most positive thing I got from them is that strongly reminded of prints by Pierre Leshinsky, the Belgian artist, especially with that very graphic green against red. That was the strongest and best I could get from the works. What was your feeling?
I didn't see Schnabel, but I saw a lot of Schnabel's friend, Clementi.
Right, again, European sensibility.
Both in the mix of figuration and abstract forms, and in this ambition of allegory. And that's where she doesn't do anything for me, because allegory is an important matter, and I don't think that she understands what allegory is about, that it has to be an allegory of something, not just allegory.
Right. Yes, I would concur with that. I found the figures, I could only enjoy these paintings abstractly. If I could just look at them, well, I saw it basically as one painting, because the paintings, unfortunately, gestalt, so it's best just to look at the whole room and treat it as a decorated room. But in doing so, it, you know, the green and the red, but basically I went away. The best thing I could think of was green and red. It was this lack of a gestalt, the illegibility of the figures, and this sort of sloppy indulgence of the whole project was very unsatisfying for me. But I need to look again because I respect Anthony Hayden Guest's eye, but I'd love to hear some more words from Anthony Hayden.
Good graphics. I think her black marks were excellent. I thought the composition was good and very strong. And I think we're, in a way, we're conditioned by celebrity culture to be overly harsh sometimes.
If
she had a different name, she probably wouldn't be being discussed.
Uh-huh.
And B, we wouldn't maybe be so stringent.
Honestly, I appreciate that she was being discussed because of the celebrity name, but I really was trying to engage with them just on their own merits, which I didn't find to be much merit.
Yeah.
But
I would resist that accusation because I, too, don't go with the celebrity thing. And as you rightly say, everyone has a father. I mean, Ai Weiwei's father is a very well-known poet in China. People say, oh, he's a chip off the old block. No, I mean, each person is on their own, really. And quite often, there are very well-known artists who have pretty unknown artists as fathers as well. Picasso or Ben Nicholson, well, not quite Ben Nicholson, but Picasso certainly. So, I don't think it's fair or true to say we're dissing her because she's...
Julian's quite an overwhelming presence.
Well, you know, Tony Smith apparently was pretty overwhelming. I mean, you know, where does one draw the line with overwhelming?
Well, I think that the contribution of Schnabel, which was his questioning canvas as the only type of space on which one paints, and I think his importance comes out of these plate paintings and then his paintings on oriental carpets. I mean, that has led to to quite a few artists. I forget their names because I'm not good at names. But there's a whole bunch of artists nowadays, particularly women, who have given up on the idea that first thing you do, you grab a canvas, you put it on an easel, and you start painting. That the canvas itself is a speaking element, and that if you put broken plates, the connotations will be different than if it's just canvas. And I think that what she missed out on, frankly, on this inheritance, is to find her own way of critiquing the canvas.
Well, I'd say perhaps in her defense, actually, the very weird property of the red paint on the canvas was formerly a point of intrigue to me. I'm going to now undermine my declaration of innocence by saying a rather cruel, journalistic little thought, spiteful thought came into my mind, that I was thinking perhaps these were plain paintings and the plates have all fallen off, and that's why the red has that weird look of glue adhering in a bizarre fashion to the... But I'm not going to put that into the record, because it's a mean and spiteful thought. But what is going on with that red paint? Why does it mottle and congeal in that funny way? Is there a technical explanation, or is it a formal thing? Is it is it part of the meaning?
Well, we have painters in the audience.
Yes.
Yeah, let's open.
Well, let's open it up then, and let's please, if you've got a passionate defence of Lola Montez Schnabel, to compliment Anthony Hayden Guest, we particularly want to hear that. So keep your hand up only if you've got something positive to say about Lola Montez Schnabel, and afterwards we'll take in a discussion also of Bradley Slater. Yeah.
Hi. I was just interested in what I took to be a very visceral response to this show, and it's sort of almost to me painful to the intellectualization of the first group of things that you looked at. I mean, you all had rather strong reactions to this that seemed very mean, and I felt in the case of the other work, you were striving for something and reading into it, you know, and somebody asked a question about whether you needed to see the video. I thought that was spot on. So.
Okay, thank you. Now that's a valid criticism of us and the job we did. But it's also, I would suggest, some work draws you in to its inner meaning, partly because it has a formal austerity, as in the case of I and Z, or because it has a sort of romantic, melancholy intrigue, as in the case of Slater, and other work which just leaves you kind of not caring or knowing what it might be about. You're left to say, well, okay, but it is, we're here, it's material on support, let's look at the material on the support. All right, okay.
I had read that she limits herself to 5 colors and 5 canvases. And all these 5 paintings were actually made with only 5 colors, and I would like to ask the panel, what do you think of this limitation? Is this part of the art? Is it important? Is it limiting? And the gooey stuff, by the way, was rabbit glue.
Okay.
Rabbit skin glue.
Yeah, yes.
Well, Mondrian limited his colors.
Didn't hurt him.
Ed Reinhardt limited his colors, very rigidly, as a matter of fact. I didn't even know black is a color.
Right. Judith Murray limits her colors to 5 as well, but with rather startlingly different effect, I'd suggest, to my eye.
I think it's a series, and in a way, that idea is fairly interesting. It's like those 5 paintings belong together, that they should stay together because they are in this similar color thing.
But if you really want one, you can have one.
I limit my colors.
I'm curious to know how you came about to choose Schnabel to be one to be discussed.
Well, we have to have a really pretty celebrity to talk about. No, actually, to be honest, one of our panelists put it forward, and I thought it was being put forward because that panelist was wanting to say something positive. Otherwise, there were dozens of great shows we could have been talking about. So that's why. Oh, yes, let me take a moment just to...
Why did that panelist put it forward? I'm curious. I'd love to hear more.
Honestly, this is sounds... As embarrassingly simple as this is, I live in Berlin, and I just came in for a couple of days to do this, and I have never really thought about her work before, so I wanted an opportunity where I was forced to come up with an opinion.
That's
I wanted to be forced to go and see her show.
Okay. Well, we forced you.
Yes, and I have an opinion.
Good.
Not the positive one we hoped, but it was...
Yeah. The process... let me just say one word about the process of how we select shows, because it often comes up and people are very interested. It's quasi-democratic in that I ask the guests to identify 6 shows on a short list of eligible shows, which is a solo show of a recent body of work by an artist who's not hitherto been discussed at the review panel, and that's on at least 2 weeks before today and at least until today. So that narrows it down usually to about 80 or 90 shows. And I send that quote-unquote short list to the panelists and say, look, please identify maybe around 6 shows that you'd have some strong opinion on this list, and if possible, identify which ones you'd have a positive opinion about. From that, I then curate a collection that maybe has some points of common between the artists, but more importantly, should have a spread, a contrast of mediums, generations, sensibilities, materials, etc., and also degrees of reputation. If you've got some very well-known artist, such as Ai Weiwei, we should have some unknown young emerging artist, such as Miss Schnabel. But anyway, that's how we try to put together the menu. And sometimes the dessert is not as sweet as it should have been.
The other thing I wanted to say just about why I felt like I wanted to be forced to come up with an opinion about her work is because I also write about fashion, and I write for fashion magazines, and she's one of the people on the list because of her lineage who is really attractive to editors and is kind of the like the token artist. Often when in conversation with editors about not just art shows that are coming up, but who's an artist who kind of resonates and represents art for less art-literate audiences. So I wanted to test her art credentials for myself by experiencing it firsthand. And I wanted to do it kind of without thinking about her either, you know, fashion relevance or father, just as if she was artist, as she often is kind of on these lists with fashion editors. You know, there's a bunch of people who just for sort of a general audience kind of are like the physical embodiment of art.
Yeah, but also actually, Anna, considering the your interest in young female artists who work in traditional mediums and deal with romantic subject matter, she should, when I saw her Schnabel as your choice, I thought, well, that makes sense. This is another Anna Fennell Honigman-style painter. So we'll get the lowdown on her from Anna Fennell Honigman. But anyway,
sorry, I'm like a slave.
Young man there
girl.
Is waiting very patiently to let us know something. Yes.
Yes. I was going to say something about the paint and the alternative materials in the paintings. And it's not just rabbit skin glue. It's asphalt, plaster weld, and copper plating solution. And that's why sometimes you would see in the painting that it would kind of bead and not, it's like kind of like when you put water on top of oil, it's not soluble. And I also, when I was walking through the exhibition, I too picked up on some kind of European theme because it made me think a lot about Cecily Brown. Not just with the way the painting is handled, but also in the subject matter.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much. Good. Those are positive points of reference and valid ones. Great. A further comment? A last comment for the evening on perhaps Bradley Slater, who we've rather been neglecting. It's always the way that when you discuss two shows and then open it up.
Not a comment, but a question, David. When you started out, you said you couldn't resist the temptation of putting the two Chinese together, and obviously that left the two Americans together. How did you, what was your thinking in the end to make the order that way?
No, it wasn't that I wanted to put the Chinese together. It's that I wanted to keep them separate, but then if I did that, we would have ended up with... we'd have probably ended up with Ai Weiwei, and that it would have been difficult to, you know, just logistics, really. Nothing very heavy.
Do you think the Chinese are classic and the Americans are romantic?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'll buy that. Yes, what I thought was the Chinese are brilliant. Thank you very much. Next time I'm jet-lagged on a return trip from China, I will call upon you to moderate in my place. Thank you very much. And I hope you've all got the... Did you get the flyer for next month's... Good. So we'll see you on February the 24th. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Thank you very much.